Good morning, everybody. Well, I had a countdown going on the second row this morning, so I appreciate that, girls. Let me know when I go live. Thank you this morning for coming to join us at Crestview Baptist Church this morning. If you are online and you are tuning in with us, we are glad to have you. It is a special morning. We are going to have our Hanging of the Green service this morning. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I wondered if Artie was going to come in and preach to me about gluttony today after Thanksgiving, but he did. He's not, so that's good, because I did eat. Huh? Oh, you can't. Well, I ate a lot on Thanksgiving, but I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. But now I'm excited. We are moving into the Christmas season. Yesterday I went through my drawer, and I got out my Christmas ties to decide which one I wanted to wear on the first Sunday of Advent, and Laura picked this one. But I just have a few announcements to get us started, and we're going to get right into that Christmas spirit this morning. We get to celebrate the season of our Savior. Wednesday night, don't forget adult Bible study in here. And I'm going to have the youth and the kids, and we're going to be in the fellowship building, and we are going to pack shoeboxes. I'm going to go pick up some things to put in shoeboxes this week. If anyone would like to bring something to donate and throw into the shoeboxes, that would be awesome. We do have a few things left over from last year where we had more items than shoeboxes. Not much, but I still look forward to that. Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, the youth are going to be leaving the church, and we are going to be going to New Prospect Baptist Church over near my house. So I'm going to drive all the way over here, and then I'm going to drive back. And we are going to be assisting with a young lady there who has a mission project. She is packing, they're packing 50,000 meals for an organization, which I keep meaning to write down, but I never do. So at 9 o'clock, bring $5 if you can for lunch. If you can't bring $5, don't let that stop you from coming, okay? Next Sunday, we're going to be dedicating shoeboxes. So keep in mind that if you've got shoeboxes and you want them to bring them to dedicate them, bring them next Sunday. Shipping on the shoeboxes this year is $9 to help get those to young boys and girls all across the world to help spread the good news that Jesus Christ is born. December the 7th is the Samaritan's Purse Work Day in Charlotte that we have signed up for. We have two spots left. If anybody wants to go out to the bulletin board on the left down that hallway, and you can sign up there. Or you can talk to Joy if you need more details, and she will help you with that. I know it is not even December the 1st yet, but I want to just remind everybody that we do have, and we are going to have, our Christmas Eve service here. We're still working on the logistics of that and how that's going to work out, but I know for a fact we are going to be here on that Christmas Eve as we usher in the birthday of our Savior. The only other announcement I have, and I use this last because I wanted to keep it fresh on everybody's mind. If you're on the Building and Grounds Committee, Lisa is going to be in the back corner right after church. She says it's going to be a short meeting. She'll have you out by 3 o'clock. It'll just be a short meeting about, I'm not even sure what it's about. You'll find out. It'll be a surprise. But at this time, let's... Okay. Do what? Oh, yes. No choir practice this Wednesday night. And yes, breakfast is this Saturday. Man, that first Saturday of the month sneaks up on me every time. So come out to that. We have already has an announcement, but after that, I want everybody to shift their hearts as we usher in this Christmas season and we celebrate the birth of our Savior.
As Chad said, thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you for joining us online. Just as we prepare our hearts, just need to encourage you and thank you also that we are wearing masks. If you get to your seat and you want to take it off, that's fine. That's up to you. But I ask you to continue to distance as well as wear the mask while you're around groups. Right now, we have three families that are dealing with this virus that are in quarantine. One of them as early as yesterday. There is no primary contact within the fellowship here, but the families are quarantining. And I ask you to just help so that we don't have an outbreak here at our church. But again, I just ask you to be mindful of that. But having said that, we do need to pray for those that are dealing with this. I know I have a praise, my friend Jim Bishop, that I went to high school with, that we've been praying for several weeks. Actually got to come home this past week. He has got home health nurses come in and to help, but he did get to go home. And I just ask you, encourage you to continue to pray for him, and thank you for the prayers that our church has put up for him. And continue to pray for those within our church that are dealing with this. And also those that are being affected in our community, as far as their jobs, their livelihoods. Because let's face it, we have several people within our congregation, within our family, that are small business owners. And if we have to go through another shutdown where their businesses have to shut down, they may not be able to recover from that. So let's pray for them. I encourage you to be an encouragement for them. And let's just turn all of this over to the Lord, because he honestly, politicians can't fix it. The doctors can't fix it. Everybody is different. Some people may say that it felt like a cold. Other people say it's the worst thing they've ever experienced, and some people have even died. We know that. But it affects everyone differently. There is no rhyme to reason how this affects people. But I know somebody that knows exactly what's going on. And I know somebody that can take care of it all. And we begin to celebrate his birth today, and that is Jesus. So as we go to this time in prayer, I ask that you just bow with me and you just pour your hearts out to God as I pray this morning. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you, lifting your name on high. Dear Lord, we begin to celebrate Advent today. We begin to look forward to the day that we celebrate your birth. And dear Lord, I just ask you now that you fill this place with your presence, that your spirit moves among your people, and that you set our eyes on you, that you set our hearts on you. Dear Lord, we praise you for what you've already done. But dear Lord, we ask you to be with those families right now within our congregation that are dealing with this virus. Dear Lord, we thank you for the praises of those that have recovered. And dear Lord, I ask you to be with all of those that are dealing with businesses that are struggling during this time. I ask you to give our leaders wisdom and insight in what to do. Dear Lord, and I also ask you that we would all put our personal agendas aside and focus on what is best for everyone. And dear Lord, above all, allow us to put our full trust in you, regardless of what happens. Dear Lord, we also praise you for the fact that the reports that we're getting from Stephen Collins, from Sandra, that even though he is still weak and even though he is still sick, that his numbers are on the rise, dear Lord. So that is an incredible thing, that they are doubling daily. I ask you to be with Sandra, Dear Lord, she has got so much on her plate right now, and she's trying to do everything, but she is tired. Dear Lord, her body needs to recover from the donation that she has made. Dear Lord, just strengthen her. Dear Lord, we cannot make her sit still, but dear Lord, you can. Just give her the time to rest, dear Lord. Give her the time to recover. Dear Lord, there are so many others that are dealing with things. We have families that are dealing with aging parents that are having difficulties. We have families that are dealing with sickness. We have some that are waiting on tests and some that are recovering from surgeries. But dear Lord, you have all of us in your hands. And you know exactly what needs to be done. And dear Lord, as we go throughout this service this morning, allow us as we do all the different things that we remain focused on you. That we remain focused on why we are here. And that is to praise your name and worship you. And dear Lord, may your spirit have freedom to move today as we sing your praises and as we lift your name on high as we celebrate this season. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Thank you all for being here as we have our Hanging of the Greens service today. This is definitely a time to celebrate. So we thank you for joining in with us. Long ago, as the stillness of the night hovered over Bethlehem, our Savior was born. When we think of those intimate moments in the cattle stall, the guiding star that led the shepherds to him, the angels singing and proclaiming his birth, glory and his majesty. How we wish that we could have been there to witness the birth of the one who would save us from our sin, conquer death, and give us life forever. The one to give us a purpose and hope. The adoration of the King began that night and will continue throughout eternity. Today, we gather to prepare for the birthday of the King, the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus brings to us hope, love, joy, peace, and light. So as we celebrate this joyful and holy season, we adorn this, his sanctuary, to remind us of his birth, his life, his sacrificial death, and his triumphant resurrection. So join us as we take our place in the celebration of his birth and his love for us, as we sing together our hymn of praise, the first verse of O Come All Ye Faithful. Would you stand, please?
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. This is known as the season of Advent, the time that we prepare our hearts for the celebration of Christ's coming. To represent the coming of Christ and to help us be reminded of that wonderful night as we waited anxiously for his arrival, we will prepare an Advent wreath. The table is adorned with a purple cloth to represent royalty. We will place an Advent wreath, which is made into a circle of evergreen that remains green all year and is symbolic of Christ's never-ending and never-fading love for us. We will place 3 purple candles and 1 pink candle, all surrounding a white pillar candle. With today being the first Sunday of Advent, we will be lighting the first purple candle, known as the candle of hope. The next week, we will light the candle of faith. The third week, the candle of joy. And the fourth week, we'll light the candle of peace. And then on Christmas Eve, we will light the center candle, the Christ candle. For many years, the faithful looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. So as our candle is lit, let us be thankful to God for giving us His Son. As Doug sings for us, O come, Emmanuel, let us gaze at our lit candle and be reminded Jesus is the fulfillment of our deepest desires and our hope.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
The poinsettia has been called the flower of the holy night, but the legend of the poinsettia goes like this. At the door of an adobe hut in Mexico stood a little girl, weeping as though her heart would break. She was a very poor little girl, and her name was Alita. She was weeping because Christmas was at hand, and she had nothing with which to show her love for the Christ child. And she knew that all the people would come to the nearby church on Christmas Eve, bringing flowers to place around the manger near the altar. As she stood with tears blinding her eyes, an angel appeared by her side and asked, "Why are you crying, little girl?" Well, surprised, Alita said, "Because I have nothing to take to the Christ child on Christmas Eve to show how much I love him." The angel said, "Gather an armful of these weeds by the roadside, and when you come to the altar, place them by the crib." "Oh," exclaimed Alita, "I do not wish to take weeds and be placed among the lovely flowers that will be at the altar." But the angel said, "Do as I say, and the Christ child will come to love him." Alita smiled and promised. When she arrived, the church was ablaze with beautiful lights and flowers. And here come Alita with an armful of weeds. All that she could carry, and gently made her way through the crowd and placed the weeds among the flowers and bowed her head in silent adoration. A gasp of delight came from every part of the great church, and Alita raised her eyes. And to her astonishment, the weeds that she had placed at the altar had become this huge bouquet of the most beautiful scarlet flowers. And ever since, these flowers have been known as the poinsettia, the Christmas flower. We read in Galatians, "When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. As Jackie sings for us, "More precious than silver," let us be reminded that God sent the ultimate gift, His Son. And let us be reminded that Jesus is more precious than silver or gold. We'll be hanging our wreaths. But we do want to know why we use our wreaths. Green represents renewal, new life, freshness, and rebirth. Plants such as pine, fir, holly, and mistletoe are called evergreens because they do not die throughout the year. They remain evergreen. Because they never die, our ancestors saw them as signs of things that last forever. Isaiah tells us that there will be no end to the reign of the Messiah. The wreath also signifies the crown, born as a sign of the kingship of Jesus, but also as a reminder of his love for us. Would you please hang the wreath as we sing the first and second verses of Worthy of Worship? You do not have to stand, just remain seated.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all the glad songs we can sing, worthy of all of the offerings we bring. You are worthy, Father, Creator, you are worthy, Savior, Sustainer, you are worthy, worthy and wonderful, worthy of worship and praise. Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, yonder.
Okay, we'll stop with that verse. Thank you.
Joanne.
Once upon a time, many years ago, an old cobbler and his wife lived in a tiny cottage at the end of a village in Austria. This humble shoemaker had few worldly possessions, but whatever he owned, he shared with others. Symbolic of this generosity and love of mankind was the lighted candle that he placed in the window of his cottage. Every night, this light would shine forth as a welcome sign of hospitality to any weary traveler who might be in search of shelter. Over a period of several years, war, famine, and near destruction fell on this little village. But never once did the little candle fail to send its beams as a message of hope and cheer to all. Hardships and losses came to the village as a result of the war. Loved sons were killed in battle, crops failed, and animals starved for want of grain. And yet, through all this trouble, the little cobbler and his wife suffered far less than any of the other villagers. It seemed that there was like a magical charm guarding these two. Discouraged and weary, the village peasants gathered together one evening to discuss the cobbler's fortune. "Surely there is something special about him. He is always spared from our misfortunes. What does he do that we don't do?" One of the villagers said, "Perhaps it is his little candle. So let us put a candle in our windows too and see if that is the mysterious charm." Now, it just so happened that day that the peasants were meeting was the day before Christmas, and the first night that a candle was lit in the window of every home was Christmas Eve. The candles burned all that night, and when morning came, it seemed as though a miracle had occurred. A soft mantle of snow covered all the village, and an air of hope and contentment filled the hearts of the villagers. Before the first ray of the morning sun had cast its first gleam upon the new fallen snow, a messenger rode into the village to bring the great news. "Peace! Peace has come! War is over!" The church bells chimed as the people knelt in prayer on this most wonderful morning. Never before had there been such a feeling of Christmas glory and joy as there was on this day. The peasants were awed. "It was the candles," they whispered. "They have brought an answer to all of our prayers. We must never again fail to light our candles on Jesus' birthday." And now, many years later, this beautiful custom has spread all over the world until today. Millions of candles flicker all over the world, sending forth a message of love, hope, and cheer that will never grow old. As we all sing "This Little Light of Mine," we'll glare at the lights in our own windows and be reminded what the villager said. Let us never again fail to light our candles on Jesus' birthday. So let's get our candles ready, and we will sing the first and the last verses of "This Little Light of Mine." Let's stand as we sing. Hold your candles up.
"This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine.
Thank you. Christmas Day, 1863, was not a day of peace on earth. and it was not a day of goodwill to men in the United States. The bloody Civil War was being waged. At Gettysburg, only 6 months earlier, 40,000 men were killed, wounded, or missing. And there was no end in sight. So no wonder the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow bowed his head in despair as he sat by his son's bed in the hospital, wounded from the war. And he declared, "There is no peace on earth." The entire country, both the North and South, were in despair. But there was something that happened during that darkest moment, that Christmas morning, that helped Longfellow realize that God was not dead and that the right would prevail. He heard the bells from the nearby church ringing in a new day, Christmas Day. The birth of Jesus Christ brings hope. Christmas doesn't mean that all problems are going to disappear, but as it does assure you, as Longfellow wrote, that God is not dead, nor does he sleep. Bells have always been used to ring in good news. So today, as Bruce hangs our bells from the sound booth, think of the greatest news that has ever been told. God's Son, our Lord, Jesus is born. So as Whitey sings, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day," let us be reminded of this wonderful news.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, the old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pale the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Chrismons are special ornaments hung on the Christmas tree and used as decorations to remind us of the true meaning of the Christmas season and point us to the Christ child. Chrismon is a combination of Christ and monogram, meaning symbol. The ornaments are colored white and gold, white symbolizing that Jesus is pure and perfect, and gold symbolizing his majesty and glory. Each chrismon represents Jesus Christ, his life, his ministry, his nature, and his teachings. The evergreen tree symbolizes eternal life, and the lights proclaim that Jesus is the light of the world. And the chrismon ornaments declare his name, his life, and his saving acts. So at this time, I'm going to ask Chad and our children to help us hang our chrismon decorations. We'll begin with the butterfly. It is a symbol for transformation and immortal soul. The crown is the symbol that Jesus is king. It shows that Christians believe Jesus is ruler over heaven and earth. The anchor cross reminds Christians that Jesus is the anchor of their faith. The dove is a symbol of peace and the Holy Spirit. It is shown pointing down to represent the Holy Spirit that appeared as a dove when Jesus was baptized. The chiro looks like a P with an X on top of it. These two letters are the first two letters of the Greek word Christos, which means Christ. The heart is a symbol of love and reminds Christians that God is love. The Celtic cross is a normal cross with a circle in the middle to symbolize eternity. The Star of David, sometimes called the Star of Creation, is a symbol that Jesus was a Jew and a descendant of King David. The Trikrita is made of three loops, making a triangle representing the three parts of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The fish is one of the oldest Christian symbols. The letters come from the Greek word for fish, stands for Jesus. And the lamp represents that Jesus is the light of the world. As we sing, O Christmas Tree, let us gaze at our beautiful Christmas tree. Let's stand.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, lifted up your branches. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches. In beauty green they always grow, through summer sun or winter snow. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are your branches.
Thank you. In ancient times, the cedar tree was revered as the tree of excellence and endurance. It also signified immortality. As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, let us read in the book of John. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that offers light to everyone was coming to the world. Yet to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, those who proclaimed to be children of God. So as our tree is lit, may we be reminded of the one who brings light to our darkness, healing our brokenness, and peace to all who receive him. Please remain seated as we sing the first verse of Silent Night.
Bright.
our sanctuary to be reminded of who Christmas is all about, Jesus. So let us now listen to the Christmas story and be reminded of the greatest gift ever given as our own nativity is arranged as Artie reads the scripture.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he is who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken of the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife. Now it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius, the governor of Syria, and all were proceeding to register for the census, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And it came about when an angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby, and he lay in the manger. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went and before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him and opened their treasures. They presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh.
As we gaze at our own nativity, let us be reminded of what it was like that beautiful night that our Savior was born as we sing the first verse of Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
In Luke, we read that angels invited shepherds to come and see the Christ child in Bethlehem. And after they saw the baby, they shouted and glorified God. So during this season, the air is filled with music and singing, decorations, shopping, meals, busy, busy, busy. There is a great celebration going on. So whenever we hear the songs of Christmas and see these colorful decorations, let us be reminded the reason for all the celebrating. Let's live to praise the Lord in adoration and to sing with our hearts and voices as we celebrate the Christ child. Let us stand as we sing the first verse of Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and
would you remain standing, please?
Today was the Sunday of hope. We lit the hope candle. I want to read a verse out of Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It seems as you watch the news, as you look around with everybody wearing masks, that we have lost hope in our country. That we are so discouraged, so fearful. But you know what? 2020 has been a rough year on many different fronts. But you know, we get to end 2020 by celebrating the greatest hope that ever existed. And that is Jesus Christ and his birth. The fact that he came to earth, gave up his throne in glory to walk among us, to suffer all the effects of an earthly life, just like you and I do, just to bring us hope. A hope for a future, a hope that we can endure this life. And more than that, a hope that we can have eternal life through what he did on the cross. Today, we celebrate hope. We have decorated our church. We have sang songs about his birth. But church, we have to show people around us that we have hope. Because our world needs hope right now more than they have ever needed it before. Because Jesus came as an infant child. He's coming back as our Savior to take us home with Him. And that day is quickly approaching. Thank you for being here. If you want to know the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, come see me, come see Chad, come see Sandra. Don't leave here today without knowing the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. And as we dismiss today, I want to say thank you, Sandra, for all the work and for being willing to even sit down up here to do this and lead us today. So thank you very much. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Don't forget Building and Grounds meeting back here with Lisa immediately following the service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you have done for us. Thank you for the fact that you gave up your throne to come to earth as a baby. A baby that did not even have a place to be born and was born in a manger, born in a barn, just to provide us with the hope. The hope we find in Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, I ask you that as we go from this place, that we would be your lighthouse, so that we would let our light shine, so that others may see the hope that we have in you. That they will be drawn to us, so that we may share the difference that Christ can make in their lives. Keep us safe. Be with those that are being affected by this virus right now, dear Lord. Strengthen their bodies to enable them to fight it. And thank you for being able to be in your house today. And thank you for Jesus Christ. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Amen.